What made the crowds so mad? What did Jesus do? They were so mad, they're going to take him and throw him off a cliff, one of their own. That's pretty extreme, after being so excited just at the beginning of the reading. What exactly happened? Well, let's look through the passage a little bit to get a sense of what their anger was about. So first of all, Jesus tells them that the Messiah is here in their presence. And they're like, ooh, exciting, who could this be? And then they want to see signs of it like they saw everywhere else. But ultimately, he said, you will not see signs. I will not show them to you. Not only will I not show them to you, if I were to show them to you, you would not believe me, which were the two pieces of scripture he quoted. The first one is in the time of Elijah the prophet, the two great prophets, Elijah and Elisha. During the time of Elijah, there was a severe famine that went through the land of Israel, and many people died. And he's quoting a specific passage when Elijah left the land of Israel, went up north into the land of Zarephath, and met with a widow who was also suffering from the same famine, non-Israelite. She doesn't believe. Here he goes up to this land of people who are unclean, the people who do not believe, and a widow comes out to him, and he asks for a loaf of bread. Do you remember this passage? And a cup of water. And she says, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have anything left. All I have left, my son and I will eat, and then we will die. And he says, go and do like I asked, and bring me something to eat. And she does it with a level of faith. And because of that, she was fed for the entirety of the famine. An amazing event, if you think about it. But what they're getting at in this particular passage is that Jesus is drawing attention to the fact that Elijah went to a non-Israelite and did something profound for her. She understood what was going on when the rest of Israel was obstinate against it. They would not believe. Same thing works with Elisha the prophet, the other great prophet, the one who succeeded Elijah, the one who had double his power and abilities. Here is Elisha the prophet, and now we have someone from the eastern lands, someone who is a totally different religion, who is afflicted with leprosy. His servant girl, who is an Israeli, said to him, why don't you go talk to the prophet Elisha? Maybe he can cure you. A little bit disturbed by it, he went to the land of Israel and found Elisha the prophet, and Elisha said, go bathe. And he said, really? I have cleaner water in my land. Do you really believe that this is going to work? At the bidding of his servants, he went and cleansed in the water and was made clean. He was not an Israeli. He should not have been cleansed. He was the unclean people, and he's the one that was cleaned. And here Jesus is taking these two passages of Scripture, these two major events in the life of the Israeli people, and making a point that God did not just go to his own people, he went to the people of all over the world. And the people who should have understood, the people who should have believed, clearly didn't. The same image is drawn out of our first reading today from the book of the prophet Jeremiah, in a subtle way. Jeremiah the prophet is called to be quite a towering figure to the people of Jerusalem. He is supposed to stand up against all of their crimes and abominations, all the things that are going on as they're being exiled, and tell people, fidelity to the law, follow God, do what he's told you. And the people go, no, I don't want to. And they get really, really upset with him. There's actually a whole book of the Bible about Jeremiah being upset because of the people not listening to him. It's called the Book of Lamentations. It's him weeping and sorrowful and upset the entire book long. Because they try and imprison him several times. They try and beat him several times. They try to kill him. He did not have a good life. But the same image runs out of that reading too. That although God made him a towering wall and this fence against all problems, and that he would speak to the people these amazing words, the people ultimately didn't want to listen. And they fought against him. Which is the whole point of why the people today are so upset. It's not just that Jesus said, look, I'm the Messiah. And they go, no, you're not. We grew up with you. We've seen you all this time. Come on, get with the picture. It's that he said, not only am I the Messiah, but I won't show you because you won't believe. And they get upset. Now, that's where we stand today, too, in a very prominent and profound way. The big question for us is, are we more like the people who believed, the woman from Sidon or the Naamite? Or are we more like the people who didn't believe of Jesus' time? Because the ultimate problem we're wrestling with is, who is God to us? Is God someone that we put into such an image that he's collapsed to what we expect him to do? That we expect him to perform a certain way or do certain things, such as like the vending machine God. I put in my prayers and up pops all the blessings and I'm very excited because I got the blessings I wanted. Or is God more like this kind of figure beyond us that we can't explain or describe? He's just there. Or is God truly someone other than ourselves, another person, someone that we can relate to, someone we can start to understand? Because if we start to let our minds delve into this passage and recognize God is something beyond me, God is something to which I need to spend some time and attention recognizing who he is, the whole picture changes. And the picture changes because of what St. Paul tells us today, that when we really do recognize that God is beyond us, but also someone relatable, it becomes a relationship. It becomes something different. And I know that I preached on the Feast of Epiphany about the importance of signs and recognizing God's presence through the things he does. But today I want to build upon that in a very prominent way, that it's not just signs we're looking for anymore. It's the recognition that God is other. And what I mean by that comes out of our reading today from St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians, in which he said the greatest of all virtues is love. And what is love? Love isn't just my giving myself to the other, but it's a recognition that the other person out there is different than me. Love tells me that the person is so different than me that I want to be surprised by them. Because when we're surprised by the other, we recognize that they're different and they have other things and it's kind of fun. Think of it this way. If I knew my friend all life long and I knew exactly what he was going to do and every quirk and every little thing about him to the point where nothing surprised me anymore, it's a really boring relationship. Okay, he's going to do that again. Oh, there he goes again doing that mistake. Yep, there we go. But ultimately, if we really want to be in a loving relationship, the other person should surprise us, draw us into the mystery of the person being different than me. And that's the goal for us today when we recognize who God is. That as we delve into a relationship with God, when it really becomes more pure and real, God surprises us. He does weird things that we don't anticipate, like what he did with Jeremiah. Not only are you a prophet for me, but I'm going to make you a strong, good prophet. One that's going to go and preach the words and have this strength unlike anything else, that you may speak my word with vigor and excitement, and the people won't listen to you, but it won't matter, because they will see something profound in you and not be able to challenge it. Or be like the people that Jesus encountered, that here we have two wonderful passages, Elijah and Elisha, who went out and encountered these people who saw the surprise. A prophet of God is coming to me. That's weird. Aren't you supposed to be in Jerusalem with those people? Okay, cool. I'll take it. I would like to eat for the whole year. I would like to be cured of leprosy. Or even all of Jesus' life. He comes to these weird situations all his life long that we would not expect. The Canaanite official, who is a royal official, not a Jew, just this guy, Jesus decides to cure his servant. He cares about his servant in a time in which that's kind of weird. Or all the different people who had various diseases, like the woman with hemorrhages, who was hemorrhaging for 12 years and touched his cloak. Weird events that we don't expect. This is who our God really is. This is when our faith becomes pure. When we let God live in our lives in the unexpected. When we look for the surprises and the fun things. That recognize that God is real and alive, and he's not just a figment of my imagination. He is here, present among us, doing miracles, doing fun things to guide me into a full, true relationship, to recognize that God is not me, that he is something profound, something worth exploring, something in which I want to delve into a relationship of love.